Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
All right, here we go.
I say boom, 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 now let me, I say well.
Boom, boom, and then he say well.
Okay, okay, guys, okay. It's Botcast time now, all right? And that's the, you interrupt us for the recording of this Botcast, the marketing team are basking in every successful sale that comes through. They start to this song appears.
And then
another one.
Well.
Okay, right. Can we just turn this off now? We'll keep an eye on the scoreboard. We're recording this podcast on the day after the priority list launch of the ICP program. This is the new business EC Online, the independent certified partner program. And it went live yesterday, and a lot of people have been submitting applications. Every time an application comes in, you hear music around the office, and it's...
A boom, boom, boom,
he's a way up, way up.
Okay, but you can't sing it unless there's an application comes in, which hasn't just happened. However, what I thought would be helpful to do on this podcast, what we're going to do in around about 35, 40 minutes, is give you the kind of like the inside track, really, the kind of inside story of this launch, of how it was conceived and developed and rolled out, because there are a lot of things in here that I think will be helpful and of interest to you. And it also, with me today on here, I'll introduce them briefly. I've got Andy Wilcox.
Hello.
He does the boom, boom, boom bits. I've got Joe Davis.
Hello.
Who had bran flakes for breakfast this morning. I've got Emma is here. Emma Sam.
Hello.
And that is...
And I do the whales.
Yeah. Emma is the Sheridan Smith of the Entrepreneur's Circle, but nothing like as unbalanced. And then we've got Student of the Year, who had last night's beef for breakfast this morning, as if to fully kind of authenticate his student status. So Cameron is with us as well.
Hello.
So these are the guys that have been involved in bringing the EC Online, this new business, the ICP program, to launch. And we're going to talk you through some of the key things that have gone on, some things that we've learned, some of the things that have gone wrong, some of the insights that we've had, and hopefully it'll be a helpful little journey for you, and we'll have a bit of fun along the way. So Andy, you were in this room, because we're recording this in my office, and this is where the whole ICP program was conceived, wasn't it? And it was like the
epiphany.
All of a sudden, the angels were singing, the trumpets suddenly came out, and you are a kind of slightly frustrated stage performer.
I am, actually,
aren't you?
Yeah. Emma's on stage. She wants me to be in a show. just haven't got the time.
Is it true that as a boy, Alan Jones was your...
He was my idol. Although, interestingly, he didn't sing the original Snowman track on the film. A little bit of factoid for you there.
Andy, interesting Wilcox.
One of them.
So we had these implementation plans, and it was always our plan to... Once we conceived the idea, we knew, or we felt sure, that there was going to be a big market for these. And we'd done our research, we understood what was happening with the e-learning market, and that was a really important facet here. We recognised, we've seen from our own experience, the challenges that businesses have in getting people to come to training courses, for instance.
Yeah.
And the whole implementation plan concept was we felt very, very sound. But you never know for sure in business. We have to, as entrepreneurs, we have to make decisions and take what are calculated risks and invest the time. And we talked on the previous podcast about how the implementation plans were developed and the war room and the team that were behind all that. But having got them and got them out there, the first thing we wanted to do was make sure that we could actually sell them at the price point that we'd established. Yeah. And we had one or two, we trialled one or two things here in terms of different price points. We tried using the implementation plan as a tripwire. and selling them for £7 or £8, and we had a little bit of success with that, but in truth, not as much as we were hoping for or wanting. Where we found a sweet spot and started to see sales coming through was when we priced the whole package, which we initially called the Implementation Plan Library. It's now called Achieve 365.
In that voice.
But I'm not doing any more voices. I've done my funny voices for the year. Was all used up on the X Factor video.
Sounds more like Father Christmas.
I felt ridiculous doing that voice for several minutes. So we won't be doing it again. So the price point it worked at was at £4.99. This £500 price point started to really hit the spot. And we had a great kind of week when we put Ben on it. And basically, he had a free run at this. And he had access to our list and our data and everything else. And obviously, we didn't sell to any EC members, because every EC members had got the implementation plans for free in exchange for the referrals. So we had a few referrals to go out. We had a lot of past members to go out. We had some exhibitions going on. Mm-hmm. We had some people that he knew and some networking contacts that we've made. And we just cut Ben loose, basically. And 8 days later, 107 sales in the bank. And we knew we had something that was... that was going to fly here. So then we've got to now look at, okay, so now we know this works, we've got a good product, we knew the feedback on the product was good, so how then can we get this out to lots of people? And the thing that we learned from the experience with Ben and the selling of the IPs is how they are so much better to, and so much easier to sell them when people can see them. And so, and we invested, you're pursuing to invest in a couple of iPad Pros, Andy. Yeah, that's the big iPads. And the implementation plans do indeed. They look great on the iPad Pro. And so, well, how can we get to lots of people to enable them to actually see them? And this is where the requirement came. Well, we need an army. Yeah. That was the conversation. We need an army of people.
Yeah.
Well, we know quite a bit about building armies, because whilst, you know, as well as doing his amateur dramatics, Andy's also recreates classic old battles.
Yeah,
and
in a band as well,
mate. He once was Oliver Cromwell. And are you in a band now?
Yeah.
Did you pass the audition?
Bring me in, yeah.
Did
you?
It's
brilliant. Yeah, I love it.
So. And what your role in the band?
Singer stroke saxophonist.
Sorry, you're the singer that strokes the saxophonist?
Yeah. It's a funny sort of band, really playing little places.
How do you sing while you're playing the sax?
Well, I do a bit of singing in, get the sax right. I'm just multitasking all the time. Tambourine, if there's no saxophone, it's tambourine.
Thing.
Yeah, no, triangles. We're not in that musical theatre.
He's actually very good. Where was I? You threw me off track now. We've got back to the, we need the army. We know a lot about building armies. We've done it before with previous biz opportunities. And so you and I, Andy, sat down in this office and we spent an hour or so just mapping out how this might work.
Yeah. Well, one of the realisations we had from expos where we went to sell the IP libraries was that to sell it properly, like you've just said, you did need to sit in front of someone for half an hour and show them through. And when we did the numbers on the expos, the numbers that we would like to achieve is not possible for the sales guys to have half an hour conversations with everybody. So that's when we had that realization that
we just need more salespeople.
Need more salespeople, yeah.
So a few things happened. So I'm trying to talk you through the thought process here, because some of this will be relevant in your business. Some of you will have businesses and some of these challenges will be there, and perhaps some of the ways we found our solutions might be helpful for you. So we had this kind of, could this work? So we had the idea, we knew from previously how, you know, to build, you know, and get people going. We've done it a number of times from MyMag right through to my SMB, the social mm-hmm. media business, Raring to Go, and others. So could we go through, was there a way to do this? So the first thing we had to look at was the commercials. And the important thing with the commercials was that the ICP program had to work for everybody. So it needed to work for us, but I also was very aware that, you know, for us to get this away, it needed to work really well for the people that become the independent certified partners. So initially, on the very first kind of, I say spreadsheet, I think I probably was working on a bit of paper to begin with, when you and I sat down, we ran it on £100 a sale. Okay. But what if they earned £100 a sale? And the reality is that, because we knew, you know, our expectation is that an IC people have to sit with a business for 30 to 40 minutes to make a sale.
Yeah.
And if they do that, and they should we expect them to be able to sell to roughly one in two. It might be somewhere near 40% convert, but roughly one in two. So that means they're going to have to sit down for an hour and a half / 2 hours, and to only earn £100 for that. And then you start to look at the numbers, and they're not that exciting, you know. So what does £200 look like from an ICP perspective? You're actually at £200, so you do 5 sales a month, you earn £1,000. Now, I think that was where that
looks amazing.
People get that. That's 5 sales, £1,000. 5 sales takes less than 5 hours, so £1,000, less than 5 hours, I can start to see how this could kind of work. So £200 works. So then we have to work through, does that then work for us? Because we know the price point at £499 works. That means only £300 left for us. Does that work? Well, it does, given what's involved here. So, okay, we like the £200, but that, you know, we want them to be doing 5 a month. So that's when the model then came. Well, yeah, so okay, so they've got to do 5 a month to earn £200. If they do less than 5, then they'll only earn £100 per sale. So they're heavily incentivised.
Yes.
And a couple of people have noticed that 5th sale in the month actually costs us money. Because when they've made 4 sales, they're only earning £400. They make a 5th sale, which generates revenue in total for us of £500, but we now have to pay them an extra £600 on that 5th sale, because their commissions goes from £400 to £1,000 for that month. But I'm very comfortable doing that, because I want everybody to be selling 5 a month and earning the £200. That's what this is all about. So the commercials came into this conversation really early on. That's the point I'm making here. They weren't an afterthought. We didn't do lots of detail and then check if the commercials worked. We made sure that commercially this was solid, and it worked for everybody, not just for us, but also for the ICPs, fairly early on in the process. Yeah. So having got that sorted, we then okay, how's it going to work? Then let's look at the areas and the territories. And Joe, this brought back all sorts of nostalgic, very fond memories for me, Joe, of the time that you and I spent 3 nights on the kitchen floor together.
Yeah.
With a marker pen. Which, this does more damage for Joe's reputation than mine, I'm sure, but that's exactly what we did. It was 5 or 6 years ago for a previous project, but we had to carve the country up into areas, and the only way to do it, we had these massive postcode maps that were about 12 foot by kind of 6 foot, big old thing.
Yep. We needed a lot of space.
Oh, we needed a lot of space. So we went to my kitchen at home, which has a lot of space, and the map was on the floor, and I lay on the floor with Jo beside me. she was actually on a stool with the laptop on her lap. I started in Kent, and I started with a black marker pen, and I started to look to create these areas. Now, I've got good geography of the UK. I mean, you know, in my 50 years, I have travelled to most places, and I know places and where they are, and the maps are pretty good, and so I started to carve out the postcode. So I would carve out, we'd see a town, because you have to do it like a jigsaw puzzle. So you have to start, I literally started in right in that furthest southeast corner of Kent, and I think you know, Canterbury around that area is where we actually started. So I would draw my pen in an area, and I'd call out Canterbury as the area. Mm-hmm. That's the main town in the area to Jo, and then I would read off the postcodes that were in that area, and she would input this into the spreadsheet. And while she's doing that, I'm creating the next one next to Canterbury. I can't remember what it was now. We're putting it down to Ashford or something, or there. And so we started to create all these areas, all had names, and we came right across the south coast, and we came up through Cornwall.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had a little helper.
Did we?
Yeah. Fabian helped us mark out the Channel Islands.
Did he?
Can't be more than 4 or 5.
No,
at the time.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. That's
true. He wanted to help.
But my point is, so we'd done this work, and it was quite helpful that we were able to repurpose it, because fundamentally the areas that we defined kind of 5 or 6 years ago.
You can still see the photos are still from that map.
They are. Anyone that went through those photos, because that was interesting though, because again, the photos that we utilised, and again this happened with the previous time we used these territories, we got to a point in the run-up to launch, this is 5 years ago, And we realised people were choosing an area and they were seeing the postcodes in the area. But what people don't know, people recognise the postcodes in their vicinity, but they don't know where the postcode covers. So we had to show them a map. And so we had this massive map, but we had to get a temp in, do you remember? And we had to get, and we took the map out into the car park and we stood over the map, literally right on top of it, and took five or six pictures from kind of 4 foot up that covered the whole map. And then the temp we got in had to cut the pictures up digitally and create an individual picture for each area and associate that in the database. Now, fortunately, we use Dropbox and we have good databases. And so when it came to looking at our ICP areas, if just a matter of a couple of months ago now, we were able to just dig these files off, dust them all off, and the images that you see is work that we did 5 or 6 years ago. And that's actually quite important in terms of, because it would have taken us a lot longer to get this ICP launch to launch if we hadn't done a lot of this stuff before. And a lot of people do disregard and forget what they've done. And I'm a real stickler for, you know, we have a reasonably good filing system. Everything is in Dropbox. Files are called, logical names and so on.
Hoarding comes into place because I pulled out the project plan for my SMB.
Yeah, no, and because Joey's a hoarder, you know, and I mean...
I still had the printed copy on my desk.
Yeah, apparently she's going to be on TV shortly because she can't actually get in her flat because there's like so much stuff. But it's helpful because she's got, and so we pull all that out. So we carved up the areas and actually we used exactly the same pricing as we'd used previously because it worked very well. So we want to, if you want things to work well, you want to use them again. So that's kind of what we did. So that's, so we've now got the areas mapped out. We know the commercials kind of work. We've already got the product with the implementation plans. So a couple of things we've got to do then that I did in parallel. And at this point, I'll come to Emma and Cameron and their part in this and indeed some of the stuff that Joe did in a moment or two. But the next part we then had to do was we needed to get some terms and conditions sorted. Now, I promise you, the strategy used by most business owners with their T's and C's of going online and finding somebody else's and swiping them is a poor strategy. And I got my very first franchise agreement, which was for the Best Of, and this was back in 2005. And it cost me £12,000, which was even more money back then than it is now. And I did really kind of swallow hard when I was told how much it was going to cost me. But I wanted to do it properly as a franchise. I needed a proper agreement written by a proper franchise lawyer. And I've got to be honest, that 12 grand was one of the best 12 grand I've ever spent. It served us very, very well as that franchise agreement. We've never had a single legal issue with the Best Of in all of the last 11 and a half years now because that franchise agreement is so good because it was written properly. So I'm a big believer, you know, none of us like to be profligate with cost, but it's important to know where to spend your money. And I was very comfortable to spend money, as far as the ICP program is concerned, with proper lawyers who know their stuff and who specialise in this area and develop our terms and conditions with them. Now, when you're doing that T's and C's, what you can't do is hand it all off to the lawyer. And I probably had, if I look from a work time perspective, probably over the course of 2 weeks, I probably spent 10 hours on our terms and conditions. It was a project that I took because I'm the one in the business with the experience. If I'd handed that off to any of my team, we wouldn't have had as good a set of T's and C's because the T's and C's come from the experience of the business and the input of the lawyers. And so I worked with our lawyers to develop the terms and conditions. They were longer, I'll be honest, than I hoped they would. They sit on, I think, 5 sheets of paper. I was kind of hoping it would be like 3 because I do try. I'm very good at taking stuff out. I'm very good at, like, why is this in here, lawyer? What's it doing?
Okay. You can always make the font smaller.
So, no. but that would be too... but then you see, again, and I recognise that was a slightly flippant comment made in jest by a saxophonist. Was that a saxophone impression or a
sometimes
fart?
I do trumpet.
the point is, with your terms and conditions... I want them to be understandable and readable, and I don't want to hide behind legalese. Now, lawyers, unfortunately, do want to hide behind legalese, and again, it takes that little combination of a straight-talking Yorkshireman and a competent lawyer to get a set of terms and conditions that are both legally sound and understandable. And I wouldn't want to mess that up by putting it in 5-point font. So which is why it does run to 5 pages. I think it's 5, rather than cramming it on into 2 or 3. So that was happening in parallel, and that was an important part of the piece. And the other piece of work that I did, and I'll get the other guys in, something to talk about what they were up to, was I had to write the script. Now, any of you have been on my copywriting courses that I do, you will be aware that that I talk a lot about how the first thing to do when you're launching any kind of new product or service very very early on in the process is to write the sales letter. And the reason for that is because what I found repeatedly over the years is that, and when I say about the sales letter, I mean it manifests itself in our case as a video script rather than it's not actually a letter. But when you write the copy which takes somebody from no idea of what you're doing to, oh my God, I've got to have this now, because that's the goal of any copywriter, writing anything to sell. When you go through that whole process as a marketer and as a writer, it helps you to develop your product or service, because there are things that you want to put in. And this was the case with our ICP project. And so I'd done some work. I spent a few hours over a couple of weekends, because it's a big job. This is a big, it's a big launch. It's a whole new business. I took the onus on me to write the script for this. And then I had coming up, I had a week away with Sue, my wife. And it was a present she got me for my birthday back in January. And so we were going for the first time in a couple of years without any children. And we were going away for, I think, 8, 9 days it was, to Mauritius. But the timing was awful. I was looking forward to going very much, but the timing was not very good. And because I needed to get this script done. I thought, well, actually, it's a perfect project to take, actually, away from the office. And so that was the piece of work that I did in Mauritius. And I spent, in truth, on average, 2 hours every day in Mauritius on it, having to take quite a lot there with me in the first place. And so I reckon when I had it all up, about 35 hours of time over across 2.5 weeks in crafting the copy. And actually, I have to say, I'm really quite pleased with the script, and it has... I mean, I know we're only 24 hours in now, but the response we've had already, both in terms of the number of people that have actually applied and the many, many more that have been in contact and are asking questions, and many of which are going to apply, or even some of people just recognise that it is a really good video. And I think in many ways that script, and this should always be the case, whatever you're doing in business, your latest thing should be your best thing, shouldn't it? And that's definitely the case for us. I think our launch video for the ICP piece is the best script or piece of marketing that we've ever done. And but it was quite long. And so I did a couple of things having written it. I did send it to, when I got what I thought was a fairly close to a final draft, I sent it to a small number of people. And this is where I didn't use, and Andy and Cameron had some input into it. But I sent it to people outside the organisation, I needed outside EC, because I wanted people that knew nothing, because they're the best place people to comment on it. And we got some really good input, some useful things that helped us just to polish it a little bit. We'd gone through the exercise of why people walk by, we'd done all that beforehand, all the things that we teach, we'd practiced and put it into place. But it was, but both Andy and Cameron came back to me with the key point in both your feedback was, it is long, Nige.
It was long.
You get a sense. I knew we got over 20 minutes, I was a little bit concerned that this might be too long. And so when I got back from Mauritius on my second day back, we went into the studio and recorded it. And the recording took an hour.
I remember I saw you in the morning and I went, how did it go last night? I went, it was long.
and here's the thing, because I'd looked through it, and I mean, I could trim a little sentence over there, but I couldn't make meaningful reductions to the script without taking huge chunks out of it. And every chunk of the script was in there for a reason. And it is you know, it's part of the flow that's getting people from, I don't know anything about this at all, to, oh my God, Nigel, here's your credit, here's my credit card. That's the process we've got to take them through. And I've talked many times about how there's no such thing in business as a sales letter that's too long, just one that's too boring. So my criteria I was wrestling with, and I know that's true, Nigel, but actually you are pushing the way, because I think when I've talked before about how like the MyMag webpage, when you printed it out on an A4 sheets of paper, was 26 pages long. And it was a 26-page sales letter, which that makes people, oh, that's a lot. Yeah, but when you printed our video script out, it was like 45 pages long. And which, by the way, actually, it's quite a good, if you use a normal type font, kind of 12 font Calibri type thing, and you space it with 1.5 lines of space, then broadly speaking, a page of A4 is a minute of video.
Yeah.
That's very rough, but it's a good measure. And it was 45 pages. Mm. And I go, oh God, I've got 3/4 of an hour of video here. Oh, well, let's. I was prepared to take things out, but I couldn't see where I could do it meaningfully. So we went in the studio and we recorded it. And that's when we handed the project to Rob, who's not here today. But Rob had to do the video. Now, Rob's been with us for nearly 5 years. So Rob does all our videos. And my brief to Rob was, I need you to make the best video we've ever done. And basically, he took a week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, 4 days. It was 4 full days. And I know he did work some long hours of an evening and stuff. And because the edit is very good, but there's a lot to it. A lot of the titles and the caption that he's used, a lot of the insert clips that he's gone and got and sourced and utilised. And there's a lot in there. But it does the job that a good sales letter has got. Now, I'm not going to dwell any more on that now, but other than to talk you through the whole process, because I do think our script there was a good that whole scripting and recording piece is a good example of doing the hard work that makes the selling easy. And so we've got the scripts all working there, the T's and C's are all tied up, and we know commercially it kind of works, we've got the areas all nailed off, we've got this all starting to come through. And what we then wanted to do, and Andy, you were very keen on this then, was to do a proper pre-launch. And because the thing about a pre-launch, if you do it well, and a lot of people have a dabble at this, but again, don't do it well enough, what you want to get to is a situation where, because the ideal scenario, if you want to sell something, is you want people eagerly awaiting whatever it is that you've got to sell. That puts them in a much better position where they're more likely to buy. So that's what we had to do. We had to get it to that place, to that point. And so, again, we went into our archives where we've got everything kind of filed, and we were able to pull out some of our best pre-launch stuff. And Cameron, you administered all this, didn't you? And you came up with a fresh pair of eyes. And so we gave ourselves a week, basically, to get things going. And as part of the pre-launch, we kicked off with the ridiculous video!
About the Christmas hour again?
Which... is it really Father Christmas? Jesus.
Ho, 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 little child!
I hope it sounds better than that. anyway, the video was part of it. And the video, we got lots of views, didn't we? Because that first... And by the way, when you send... This is one of our best ever subject lines. Huge announcements. What did we get? 81% open rate?
Something like that.
It was
all
over.
Block capital.
Yeah, all block capital. Huge announcement, exclamation mark. And people thought I'd died or something. But he's gone! 81% open rate. We're very pleased with that. But the priority list didn't start to fill up properly until we started to put the beef out there. So the X Factor video was a nice thing to do, and it ran over a weekend. And it was okay, but the priorities started to fill up when we started to put the beef out, when we started to tease what was actually coming, and which again shows that there is no nothing better than substance. You know, you need a bit of sizzle, but it's the beef that really kind of matters. And at this point, we became well aware also that we wanted to pre-launch it to our existing people, so members of EC, people that have bought from us before, whether it was My Maggers or Raring to Go or other things that we've done, people that we had a relationship with. So we wanted them to have first dibs, but we were very aware that actually, because we want what we want for our army, for ICP, we want salespeople. And that therefore the best people to become ICPs are not necessarily the people with whom we've got a relationship and are on our list. And so we were very aware of that. So it's like a little kind of balancing act, really, because I wouldn't have wanted to go out cold. You want to leverage that, and people know other people and things. So we ran it through and built our priority. And we got several thousand people onto our priority list before the launch. But we were very conscious that these people were not our target market. And so this is where you guys really got to town then, starting to work, well, where do our target market hang out? How can we get ourselves in front of people who are established good salespeople? And so that led us to, while I'm busy writing the script and enjoying my sunshine in Mauritius, what you guys were up to was finding partners and people who've already got the list that we want. So you want to talk about one or two of the areas, Cameron, that you've been talking with. So I mean, Andy, you split the market into three, didn't you?
Yeah.
So we had our top niche that we want experienced salespeople.
Yes.
That was our biggest thing. So we went out and found, well, where do they hang out? So we found LinkedIn. I can do this all myself, guys. Or you can come in. If you could see this, you'd see me gesticulating. I'm inviting with my arms to come in.
Okay, well,
but they're not taking part. They're just sat listening to me.
Oh, if you stop talking, we'd butt in. So we split it into, we basically had three different target markets. We had the sort of commission-only salespeople who are basically number one. We had people who are looking for business opportunities, who want to start their own business. We had that kind of group. And then we also had what we called business advisors, which were people that might already run a business, but already have a good relationship and a good list with other businesses, that this would be a good, something good to sell.
But they were very much our third choice, weren't they? Because they, whilst they have good contacts and they're likely to get off to a good start, our expectation is that they will plateau quicker and that their main core business will take priority in the medium term, and therefore for the long term, which is what we see this as, they may not be the best people to actually go ahead and do it. And we found, when you start looking and you start to properly understand your target market, mm-hmm. and your avatar, there's all sorts there, isn't there?
Yeah, it took a while. Commission-only salespeople were quite difficult to find because they don't have, like, a website where they all hang out. That's really obvious.
Facebook page.
Yeah. So, I mean, I found about two Facebook pages, I think, with like 100 people in. So that one, very good. But then when you actually get down to it and you think, okay, commission-only salespeople, probably Facebook's not really their thing. LinkedIn, on the other hand,
mm-hmm.
is probably much more likely. So we had a look on LinkedIn and we found a nice selection, like a dozen or so, like big groups with 20, 30,000 people in.
Yeah.
So we started posting bits of the teaser content in there, bits of, like, I've forgotten the word, credibility stuff.
Okay.
There we go. So they knew who we were. They knew that what we had was good and that stuff. And then we found a couple websites which sort of offer to connect you with commission-only salespeople, which we're still testing. So we'll see how they turn out.
Okay. Yeah, because at the moment, you know, we're recording this the day after the launch, the priority list. There's a lot of activity to elsewhere. These other markets is happening next week. Other things, so the target market was important. Another little piece that might want to be aware of if you're ever doing anything like this is the minute you get to the launch, and this would apply if you're selling product or whatever else, your list starts to segment, like, straight away. So so we had a kind of follow-up campaign to get people to watch the video. But the minute people, you send that video, your list starts to segment because some people click to watch the video straight away.
Yeah.
Now they've gone to watch the video. Now some of those people will watch all of it.
Yeah.
Some will only watch some of it. So straight away, I've now got, my list is segmented to three. So there's people on my priority list who haven't yet watched the video. So all my communication to them is, go watch the video. Mm-hmm. There's others that have watched some of the video, in which the message then is primarily, hey, watch all of it, or give us a call if you've got any questions, sort of thing. And then there's people that have then watched all the video, and again, the message to them, if they haven't then applied or done something in our case, is to try and engage in some contact and give us some feedback and start things moving. And so our list was straight away segmenting. We didn't keep everybody in the same, they didn't get the same messages. We weren't trying to get you to watch the video if you already watched the video.
Yes.
Because those tools, the very simple and straightforward tools that exist.
Beautifully crafted campaign. Genius.
I thought you'd say so yourself.
Fusion software there.
Okay, I'm obviously not in on the joke on that one.
No, but we've got a fantastic piece of software that lets us track where people the get times. To in videos, which is called...
Plus this. Which is an
It's an Infusionsoft plugin.
Yes, developed by people who used to like work at Infusionsoft, and you just install it, and it lets you do wonderful things that regular Infusionsoft doesn't let you do.
Yeah.
So, if someone watches 5 minutes of the video, we can tag them as watch 5 minutes. If they watch 20 minutes, we can tag them as 20 minutes, and so on. Yeah. So we have.
In our case, have they watched the full 2 hours 40? I mean, it's
it's so cool because when we ran our 7-11-4 campaign, where that video was sort of broken into those three sections, we could tell, couldn't we, Emma, what section that they had watched in that video, so we could go back and say, hey, you've watched the 7, you're still left to watch the 11 and the 4, and it's so nice to be able to do that, to break your campaign down.
And like it's really personal as well, isn't it? Because they know that you're only it looks like you're only communicating with them, because you're saying, hey, you've watched these two sections, go back and watch the last one, it's the best bit, etc.
It's great positioning.
So it makes it really personal.
People phone up and they say, we'd phone them and follow up and say, hey, I've seen you watch all the video, and they're like, how do you know this? Because we're top marketers. Went, oh, this is great. Yes, you must know what you're talking about. So, it's can I buy your product?
The other thing about that is, it gave us a reason to communicate with people. So, because I do recognise that not everybody, watching videos, not everyone's preferred mode of communication. And so, what we did, we took the video script and we packaged it as a nice PDF. Mm. So we put headings in there and subheadings and structured it. It is the video script, but it's just cut up into kind of more bite-sized bits. It now runs to like 50 pages. But ordinarily what you do is you'd put that text on the web page beneath the video. Well, it would just be ridiculous to do that. And also wouldn't help the sales. So what we do now, when people have watched part of the video, we're able to go to them.
We give them two chances if they want. So as soon as someone's started watching the video, or indeed if they've watched the entire video but still haven't applied, the first email they get basically says, hey, just checking in. If you want to go back to the video, here's the link. If you need to apply, here's the link, blah, blah. If you've got any questions, here's the number to call us. Oh, and by the way, if you want a transcript of the video, then just hit reply, let me know, and I'll send it over to you.
If you're one of those that prefers to read rather than watch.
Exactly.
And we have. But it gave us a reason, and again, people, so it's starting to come through very well. Now, then, once the campaign kicked off and launched, this is really fun. So you then started running some Facebook ads, Joe.
Yep.
Now, again, at this point, we're in the priority launch window, so we're not looking to open it up and get new people in there, but you had a complaint within hours.
Yep. Immediately, because I only set it live because I was training yesterday, so yes. I only set the ads live after 5 o'clock last night. And before I went home, somebody had already emailed in saying, I thought this was only going to be available to the priority list. I've seen this on Facebook. Whereas what I've actually done is I've uploaded our priority list as a custom audience, and I'm remarketing to them as well, so everybody who signed up to the priority list has been hit by a pixel.
So, just to be clear, that's just because you ran through a lot of stuff there. So once our priority list was closed on the Wednesday night, once it was full, you then took that priority list and uploaded it into Facebook as a custom audience.
Yep, from our customer list.
And then we show ads only to people on that list. So,
or who have hit the page to say, yes, I want to be on the priority list because I've got a pixel on there as well.
Yes.
Because the email address they sign up with might not necessarily be the email address they use for Facebook.
Okay, so again, two quite important pieces there.
So I've hit them from both angles.
Yeah. And again, we're driving traffic into the video from which sales are coming.
We've cut out like 2 minute snippets of the video as a taster, because I can't see somebody necessarily wanting to sit and watch. What did you? I'll say 55 minutes, all in one go on their phone. So we've got shorter snippets to as taster bits to entice them in, and because I think the statistic is 85% of video is consumed on Facebook without sound.
Yeah.
We've made sure we've got those videos captioned so that people are watching them, because I'll happily sit and watch a video and read it. rather than necessarily watch it.
You can't read the voice, though.
I won't listen to the voice.
Can you imagine how pathetic that video would look?
So I just read the captions instead. So we made sure they're all captioned as well. So I'm trying to make sure that we get maximum exposure.
And we found a really cool...
I can also build a remarketing list of people who've watched the videos without them necessarily clicking through, so ready to hit them with the next stage of the campaign.
So quite sophisticated stuff. And that, again, is what you train in the Facebook Ads training courses. And also most of that is covered off in the Facebook Ads implementation plan.
Which was my reply to that email saying, hey, have you seen this? Because of this great thing that Joe's just spoken about.
Did you actually write, hey?
Probably in an A Father Christmas type voice.
We found a really cool tool. Well, I like to give little nuggets to people that stay with us on the podcast. That we found a great captioning service, Cameron, haven't we?
Yes, rev.com.
Rev.
R-E-V. .com. Amazing. So 8:30 in the evening, and I had these five little clips. They were about like 3 minutes each, so we had 15 minutes total. And I went on rev.com. $1 a minute for your captions, so $15, bargain, uploaded them, and by midnight that same evening, they were all done.
Wow. So they caption the videos for you. That's what it is. It's not a transcription service. They apply captions to the video. And as Joe says, if you're using video on Facebook, it's really quite an important thing. And it is very, very cool. And so rev.com. And apparently it's all Methodist ministers that actually are doing it. Apparently,
I can't work on Sundays.
But the rest of the week is really good. The final thing then, because time's just whizzed by. Where's it all gone? Was the process, the back end process and system? Because I think one of the things that we've historically, I'm a big fan, as everyone knows, good enough is good enough. But I do try the keywords there is good enough, and so we've. We've put quite a bit of effort into getting the processes right to make sure that when people do apply or once they're on board, their training and everything, all the commissioning, etc., are all the processes are in place. So we've been doing the marketing and the building of this whole thing, there's been a separate project underway making sure that all the processes are going to work work in detail. Obviously, as we're recording this, we can only hope that they've done a good job because there hasn't been a huge amount to actually, people haven't got going yet. There's no commissions to pay, etc. There's no sales being made of the actual IPs. But the process side hasn't been forgotten here. And it's important, all of us in business. I mean, in truth, most people, I think, as business owners, their natural space is more in the process than it is in the marketing. But the two things definitely need to be... stuck together.
While we're talking about back end stuff, in the last podcast we talked about the WPEP plugin.
Yes, we did.
That we used to make the implementation plans, and we talked about Corrado, the Italian guy who makes the plugin.
Oh yes,
Corrado.
And we were talking about how it was far too cheap at $29 for the go. Well, someone must have leaked the podcast to him because. The plugin is now $89.
So he must have listened.
Yeah, so he's
good old Corrado.
So if you haven't already got the WPEP plugin, apologies, we've cost you an extra $60 there. But there you go.
Good old Corrado.
Mm. Good guy. Go back to your process. Of course, part of that is a training.
Yes.
A big project.
Training the ICPs to actually be able to go out and sell.
So that's a big project that we've got underway at the moment, which is. Quite exciting because we like doing things like that, don't we? And making videos, and we're going to have another platform on there so that people can. We've got to pay that $89 perhaps to do as a deal on that. So the guys are on that training.
Yeah, there's a separate place where the ICPs will get their training. And again, but it's not all online. We're going to send some physical stuff as well because again, that's quite important as well. People who invested to become an ICP, they're going to get a very nice pack of stuff. It has a presence, there's a physicality to it, and those kind of things are important as well. I think we've gone as far as we can in our little limited time on the podcast, but hopefully it's been a helpful walkthrough for you of a kind of behind the scenes look.
Oh, I'm just looking out the window.
Oh no.
Boom, 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 boom. Let me say
we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Botcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.